Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Pei Amud Beis, actually, the last words. Tana Rabbanan Asar Tanoim Hisni Yeshua. As Klal Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael under Yeshua's leadership, says the Braisa, Yeshua made a number of rules, put a number of rules in place. Machloikis, and we're showing him how to understand what Yeshua was doing. Some Rishonim suggest that Yeshua enacted these rules because he felt that that was the proper way to create an environment where they could live together properly, people could get along. Another pshat is that this was Yeshua's condition on which he based his prepare, he was prepared to give them portions of Eretz Yisrael. And what the Gemara will do, and this way we'll learn the Gemara Be'ezer Hashem, is first the Gemara lists the various rules, and we'll just explain them superficially, and then the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem will go through rule by rule, and that's when we'll spend explaining them. The first one, Shimarim B'Chorshim. The people should have the right for one person to bring his animals to pasture in someone else's field. Umalaktam Eitzim B'Sehem. People have the right to pull off, to take wood from other people's fields. Umalaktam Asovim B'Kamakayim. You could collect grass that's growing anywhere. Chutz Mitilson. Except grass that's growing in a field where Tilson, Funga Creek is growing. The Kaitman Nikias Mikal Mokaim. You could take off branches in order to plant a tree from anyone's tree. Chutz Mir Groifa Shalzayas, except for a certain amount of the branch growing on the olive tree. Umayon Hayoitse Betchila, a new river. Bnei Iir Mestapke Mimenu, people could draw water from that river. Umachakim Biyamel Shotferia, anybody could go fishing in the Yam Shotferia. The Yam Shotferia is actually the Kinneret. Obvad Shalayifris Kela, one of the ways that they would fish is that they would set up large nets on poles, and that is prohibited because that will yam the sasvina, that will block the boats from being able to get through. V'nifnen l'chorei hageder, anyone who has to relieve himself could do so behind anybody's fence. V'afilu b'sod malei karkum, even a field that's growing saffron, so it's a very expensive spice that's growing there, and this will ruin it possibly. Or mahalchem b'shvilei rishus, people who, for whatever reason, as we'll learn in the Gemara, can't walk through rishus rabim, can walk on the side of rishus rabim, even though it means walking in someone else's field. Achatei revi shniyah, we learned in Masechta Tainis, the number of cutoff dates when the rain comes. By the time the second rain comes, that's when stepping on the field will harm the crops. Umestalkin b'tzide adrochim amnei yisedes adrochim. This is the first incidence of potholes that we find. What happened was they used to have field, the roads were made out of earth, and during the winter they would get hard, they would get affected by the rain, and then when the sun came out in the summer, it's actually the opposite of a pothole. It's more like a mound, would get hardened, and it was difficult to travel with the wagon on the road. They would bump into those mounds. That toya bena of kromim, and somebody gets lost in a vineyard, masig va'oilug masig va'yard, he could cut his way out. And lastly, umay smitzra kainim akainim. If somebody, Rechman Slan, and we'll discuss it a little more, as I said later, is a meis mitzvah, you could bury him right on the spot where he's found. So the first rule was, shemar b'charshim, that anybody could let his animals pasture in someone else's field. Omra papa, lo yamaran, ela daka begasa. This heter is only for behema daka in a forest that's gasa. And there are three pshatim I saw in the Rishonim what gasa means. One pshat is that the trees are big trees. And since they're big trees, since we're talking about a behemoth daka, it can't do any substantive damage to those trees. Another pshat is that if it's a full forest with a lot of trees, again, a behemoth daka can't really ruin that field. A third pshat is that it depends. There were different methods that were used in plowing fields. And if the field was plowed in not such a professional manner, so there it doesn't make a difference if we let the animals walk there. Avodaka bedaka. If it's a behemoth daka and the trees are not that big, or the forest is not that big, and certainly gasa bedaka, the koshken gasa bedaka, there it could cause substantive damage. There, the law Yeshua's rule doesn't apply. The next rule was, umalaktim eitzim sudasehim, that you're allowed to pick off wood from anyone's field. Says the Gemara, lo yamaran, ella behizmi vehigi, only small twigs and shrubs. Av v'shar eitzim, loy. Big pieces of wood aren't permitted. Vafila behizmi vehigi, lo yamaran el b'mechuborim, only when they're connected to the ground is it permissible. Aval betulushin, if they're already disconnected, then loy. It may not be picked up. So Rashi explains, because if they're disconnected, that means somebody went through the bother of cutting them off. And now after the owner cut them off, I'm just going to go and take him, so it's unfair, he worked for nothing. Another pshat is that the Meiri suggests, if the wood is still connected to the ground, so actually it could be detrimental, because it's drawing from the nutrients in the ground, so it's ruining the ground. So when I cut off those pieces of wood, I'm actually doing you a favor. But if they're disconnected already, so it's not harming your field, then I have no right to take those pieces of wood. Furthermore, v'afil mechubaron lo yamaron el belach, only when it's moist. Abuyevashim, when they're dry, loy. And with the second pshat, it's very geschmack. Because once it's dry, it's not taking anything out of the ground. So since it's not taking anything out of the ground, I'm not doing you a favor, and I have no right to take it. And furthermore, even when I'm allowed to take it, shlo yashrish, I shouldn't dig deep into the ground, because I could ruin different things that are growing, different roots in the ground. Umalaktim eitzim kamakayim. The next rule was that you could pick up grass anywhere, chutz misadei telson, except in a telson field, where there, apparently, grass is important to the field, and therefore I may not do it. And points out the Gemara, Lememra, it seems, the Tilson, Ma'ala Sovim, that grass is good for the fungal creek plant. Ask the Gemara, Brimini, the Mishnah says, Masechta Kloyim, Tilson Sha'olson, Aminei Sovim, if Tilson is growing with grass, the halacha is, a Mechaivanai Salakar. Normally when Kloyim grow, and as Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos how to learn the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara this, the Mishnah this way. Normally, when grass grows together with anything else, you have a situation of kliyim, and you have the obligation to pull it out, to uproot it, not to allow kliyim to grow. By tilson, you don't have that obligation. Why? Because anyway, you're going to pull out the grass, because you don't want the grass to remain with the tilson, which seems to indicate that tilson is not good. Tilson and grass are a bad match. The Rishonim Tosfos have a problem with Rashi's pshat because they say just because it's not a good match still doesn't take away the issue of klayim. So why shouldn't you have to pull it out and avoid the issue of klayim? So the Rishonim try to explain what Rashi means is we don't have to warn anybody to do it. They'll do it on their own. Tosfos has a different pshat, very nice pshat. This is the way the Chazon Ish explains Tosfos. There's a machloikis regarding the issa of klayim. What does the issa of klayim mean? It certainly means you're not allowed to plant klayim. But Rabbi Kiva is machmer that klayim includes that you're not allowed to be mekayim klayim. You're not allowed to maintain klayim in the field. Says the Mishnah Masechta Klayim that even though under normal circumstances I find that there's klayim growing in my field, I have the obligation to uproot that klayim. Here, says the Mishnah, we don't have to give you the obligation to uproot it. Since it's a detrimental situation, and you didn't create it, it happened by itself, you can leave it that way. So you see that they don't work, they're not good for each other, and from the takana Yeshua made, it seems that they are a good match. Answer the Gemara, Amar B'Yirmi Yolai Kasha. Kalazera, Kalazirin. If you're planting the tilson for the seed, so the seed of the tilson and grass are a bad match. But if you're planting the tilson because you want the stalks of the tilson, there, it's a good match. Lazera kashaloi. If you have grass and you have seeds of tilson, it isn't a good match. The asovim machashaloi, because the grass draws nutrients from the ground, and it weakens the tilson. However, lezirin, if you're planting the field for zirin, for stalks of tilson, they're malala. The grass is actually good. Why? The kikaimi beni asavim, if the tilson grows amongst the grass, merkava, it has what the tilson has what to support itself on. So ask Taisvis if it's a good situation, at least when you're growing it lezirin, so why are you not obligated to uproot it? Says Taisvis that even when you have such a situation that you planted the tilson for the stalks and the grass support it, you have a very small ratio of grass to tilson, so it's below the shear of klayim, and therefore, the Mishnah and Masech the Klaim is not concerned about it. Ibai Seima, another teretz, is Kala Adam Kala Behema. It makes a difference what you're planting the tilson for. If you're planting it for animal feed, the Kivan del Behema Hudazara, a Savan Nami Biboile. And here too, there are two Pshatim in the Rishonim. Rashi says that what is the diet of an animal? Tilson plus grass. So you want to have the tilson and grass grow together, and everything the animal needs to eat, it has. On the other hand, people, at least in those times, didn't eat grass. So you don't want, if you're planting tilson, you don't want grass. And therefore, the grass is detrimental to the tilson. Another pshat is that when tilson grows with grass, the tilson's not going to be the same quality as when it grows without grass. But you know, when you're planting it for animal feed, you're not that particular about the quality. And therefore, even if the grass is there, it doesn't bother you. However, when you're planting it for human consumption, you're concerned about the quality, and you're going to make sure that the grass be removed. Ask the Gemara Menoyedina. So how do we know what was your purpose when you planted the tilson? And the Mefarshim say a beautiful vart. Why is the Gemara only concerned with this kasha when we say this teretz, and not when we said the previous teretz? So they say, based on Tosfos that we quoted, that when you're planting it lazirim, you're always going to have a small shear, so you could tell the difference. When it's lazirim, it's a small shear, otherwise it's a different shear. Here, that isn't the factor. So how do I know what was the person's intention when he planted it, if it was for human consumption or animal consumption? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Shari Mishari. If it's planted in nice, orderly rows, then it's obvious that it was planted l'adam for human consumption. Loi shari mishari, but if it wasn't planted in an orderly fashion, it's l'behema, it's for animal consumption. Continues the Gemara, the koitmin natiya b'kamakim, you could take off the natiya, a branch everywhere, to plant elsewhere, chutz migroifi shalzayif. And it's a very important point that the Rishonim make, that just because our Gemara, based on Yeshua's rules, is being lenient, that I could take something that belongs to someone else, doesn't mean I could just go and take your branches. I can only take it when I have a purpose to take it. Otherwise, certainly I'm not allowed to do it. Furthermore, why was Yeshua lenient with this? Because Yeshua was concerned about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to see the land of Eretz Yisrael be cultivated. And this is a way that I'll be able to plant trees if I'll have branches from other trees to plant. Pirush Reb Tachan Reberis Mishum Zakim Echad. They explain, what does that mean? Bezayis means the kebeya. We have to leave the shear of a kebeya of the original branch. Bekanim ubegafanim, by grape trees and other trees, minapakakulamala. Many times when you look at a branch, it looks like it has a bump. It's actually called a knot. The closest knot to the tree, from the tree to that knot, you're not allowed to cut off, because that needs to remain. You can only cut from after that knot. Vishak kololonis, other types of trees, min uvay shel ilan. Uvay shel ilan, most Rishonim explain, are from soft, thin, new branches, v'loy min chudosh shel ilan, but not from the thick, old, established branches. Min chadosh, furthermore, you're only allowed to take new branches, shein oisaperis, that aren't yet producing fruits, v'loy min yoshin, not from a good producing branch, shuoisaperis. And lastly, m'makam shein oroisachama, a tree has all the sides to it. There's part of the tree that faces the sun. The fruit that comes from the branches that are facing the sun is the best fruit. So if you're taking a branch, don't take that branch. Shenemar, v'loy m'makam shuroisachama, not from the side that is visible, that is open, exposed to the sun. Shenemar, m'mega tfu shemesh, from where the sun is exposed is the best fruit that you shouldn't take. U'mayna yotz b'tchilo, a new river, b'nei ir m'stap g'menu. Says Tosfos, what does it mean that people are allowed to take from that river? That's if the river started on its own. But let's say there was somebody who had to work hard to dig a river. Then I certainly have no right to just go take that water that he had to work hard to get. Amar Rabba b'Behuna, the nice lay damim. If I take money, water from your river, I have to pay for it. However, says the Gemara, the less hilchos kavasei. Continues the Gemara, u'mechakim b'yamim shel tferya, you're allowed to fish in the Kinneret, or vad shlo yifris kela, but you're not allowed to spread out a net and put out poles, because v'yamim is a sfina. That blocks the ships from being able to travel. Avot saru b'reshtes machmaris, to put out nets, you're allowed to. Tanabon, says the Bryce, v'shana hissu shvatim zezeh, originally they agreed, shlo yifris kliya, that you're not allowed to spread out a net, v'yamnes a svino, and block the boats from traveling. Avatzeru bereshtos u'machmiris, you could plant with nets and hooks. And the way the Tosefta explains this price is as follows. Originally, Yeshua only allowed for, I guess, it's called a hook, the fishing pole, not for nets. Then the Shvatim amongst themselves, the Tosefta says this, wanted to live well with each other. They say, you know what, you could even put out nets. But then things atrophied, and nets were disallowed, but the fish pole is always permitted. Tanabon, Yamesh Otferia, the Kinneret, Bechelka Shel Naftali Haisa, is in the Chelik of Naftali. V'leoid, furthermore, and shall not the Molech Chevel Cherim B'droima, he took a part on the south side, part of the land next to the Yam, Lekaimash Nemar, Yam V'Dorim Yerosha, that he should get a portion in the Yam side, and the west side, and Dorim on the south side, in the south side, Yerosha, he should get. Two interesting points. We all know, Rashi says this in Chumash, that Zvulun, the Pasuk says, Zvulun L'choif Amim Yishkain, that Zvulun got a portion of the Kinneret where the Chilazin fish, from which the Tchelis comes, swims. So Mefarshim asks, how's Al Gemara saying that the Kinneret came in Naphtali's portion when we know that that portion was by Zvulun? Mefarshim say that really most of the Kinneret was by Naphtali. There is one part of the Kinneret where the Chilazin swims. That one part was given to Zvulun. There's also interesting Machloikas Rishonim. Now that the Gemara established that the Kinneret was in Naphtali's portion, or at least most of the Kinneret, does that mean that Naphtali has different rules than everyone else? The Gemara just said that you can't set up the system of nets and on poles in the Kinneret. Does that mean the other Shvatim may not do it, but Naphtali, given that they own the Kinneret, may even set up that system? Or when the Braisa says that it shouldn't be done, even though Naftali owns the Kinneret, that doesn't give him a right to block the travel of the boats in the Kinneret. Tanya Rav Shimon Alozo Oimer. Talushin Shebaharin, if you find detached things on the mountains, Becheskus Kol Shavat Ma'imdim. As they were giving out Eretz Yisrael, anybody could take it, not only the people who got that portion of land. Umchabarim, but anything that was attached to the ground, Becheskus Oysa Shevet. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Ben L'chol Kol Shevet Mi Yisrael, we know that Eretz Yisrael was divided up into portions for each of the Shvatim. She'en Loi, every Shevet got different types of topography. They got Har, mountains, Shvela, lowlands, Negev, Amek. Everybody got a little of everything, or maybe a lot of everything. Shenema, Penut, Sulchem, Bo Har, Meri, V'kol Shcheinov, V'hor, B'Shvela, B'Negev, B'choyf Hayom. They came out the Moitzah, B'Knanim, B'Prizim, B'Memorayim, Shlofneim. That the other countries around Canaan, also which were annexed as part of Eretz Yisrael, that's the way it was divided. As all of the land that was captured was divided, everybody got something of everything. And actually, the Mefarshim say, and we see it when you travel to Eretz Yisrael is a very interesting country. Every couple of miles, or I guess you have to say the kilometers, the climate changes. You'll see different climate, and you'll see different topography. You'll travel, you'll see it's mountains. A couple of miles later, it's valley. HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly created Eretz Yisrael in such a way that everybody should be able to get something of everything. Continues the Gemara. V'nin l'chure agedar, a person needs to relieve himself. He can do so even behind a fence. But field besod shemalei karkum, even though this field is growing this expensive item of karkum. Amar v'achba Yaakov, lo nitzucho el litl menetzror. That the halach is, you could take out a stone from the fence that they used to clean themselves with stones. So somebody has a fence that he has stones in. The person who's relieving himself could take that stone. Omer of Chizda, Afilu b'Shabbos. What is the Issur on Shabbos? So, as Mefarshim explained, certainly if the wall is created that the stones are connected with cement, so it's really a situation of demolishing the wall when you take out that stone, it's mutter, because it's not an Issur d'Raisa, because it's not Soyser Amanas Livnois. The only time Stir is awesome in the Raisa and Shabbos is when it's with the intent of rebuilding. Here he's only breaking, not fixing. Or, some of us explain that it involves making a hole in the wall, which may be considered binyan, making an entrance. But again, given that that's not the intent of the person who's taking the stone, it's not an issa deraisa. Or pulling something out of the ground. Again, it's not considered real charisha. However, says the Gemara, mazutra chasida shakal meheder. He was a chassid, so he would, even though he took out the stone, he would replace it. And again, not only did he replace it, but he replaced it during the week by asking his assistant to cement it and to replace it properly, or if he took it out of the ground, to really set it in the ground 100% perfectly. You're allowed to walk on the side of the road, that means walking on people's private property, until it starts raining, where your trampling will ruin the crops, says the Gemara. Omra Papa, the Heidi Don, where we live, I feel a tal kashle. If you trample on a property where tal, where dew came down, you're ruining the property, and therefore you may not walk there. Umasalkan tzide adrochim, you can also walk on the side, and they say this adrochim. Says the Gemara. Shmuel Rav Yehuda, have a shakli v'ozli b'orcha. They were walking on the road. Have mstalik Shmuel l'tzide adrokim, and Shmuel walked on the side. Amlei of Yehuda. So Yehuda asked him, Tenoyim shehisni Yeshua afil v'bavel. They lived in Bavel. They didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So he asked them, these rules even apply in Bavel? Amlei, so Shmuel responded, indeed, Shani Aimer Afilu B'Chutzlarts. These rules apply even in Chutzlarts. And the way the Mefarshim explain, going back to the beginning of our shir, at the beginning of our shir we said two reasons why Yeshua perhaps enacted these rules. Either he did it because he wanted to have a society where people could live well with each other, or because that's where the conditions, the stipulations, how Eretz Yisrael was divided. So if we're saying that it was because that's how you create a nice society, so a nice society is not only needed in Eretz Yisrael, it's needed in the Chutz La'aretz too. If on the other hand, it's something that's evolving the way Eretz Yisrael was divided, so then it shouldn't apply in Bavel. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Rav Chiya v'shakli v'azli v'orcha. Rebbe Rav Chiya were walking on the road, and the stalkulot see the drachim, and they walked on the side of the road. Have a kamafsi of Azar of Yehuda b'knusa kamayu. Yehuda b'knusa was walking in front of them, and he didn't walk on the side of the road. Amle Rebbe Rav Chiya, miuzeh shemar gedul v'fneinu. He's acting differently than we are. And as the Yamshel Shloima explains, Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa certainly did not see them because they were walking behind them. But what disturbed them about Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa, and this is a very relevant lahalocha, is that if everybody in a certain place is makel, is lenient, you shouldn't be different and be machmer. And what bothered them was why Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa wasn't prepared to walk on the side of the road like everyone else, like they were walking on the side of the road. Mefarshim point out why weren't they machmer? So one pshat I saw is that they were walking together and talking and learning. And when you're talking and learning, you get involved in the learning. And you're afraid that if you're walking on the road where there are obstructions, you may hurt yourself. Yehuda b'Kenusa was walking by himself. He didn't have that concern. Another pshat is when you have a group of Talmidei Chacham, two Talmidei Chacham walking together, so people are going to watch what they're doing. And they were concerned that people are going to think that it's also to walk on the side of the road. But that's not true. It's mutter. So that's why they walked on the side of the road, and they felt Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa's action of showing that I'm machmer was inappropriate. Amalei Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya said, they didn't recognize because they were walking behind him, who exactly was doing this? So they said, Shem Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa, Talmidehu. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda b'Kenusa who's my Talmud. And I know about him, that Kol Ma'asav L'Shem Shemayim. Everything he does, he has only the best intention. K'mata L'Gabei, so when they caught up to him, they indeed saw Chaziyeh, that it was him. Amlei Ilav Yehuda b'Kenusa at, if I didn't know that you were Yehuda b'Kenusa, Gizrani L'Shakar v'Gizri d'Parzala, I would have cut your feet off. What does that mean, I would have cut your feet off? Or really, to be exact, what it means is I would have hit your feet with a metal stick. What it means is I would have put you into chayrim. And one of the halachas is when somebody's in chayrim, he has to remain in home. He can't use his feet to leave his home. And therefore he says, if we didn't know that your intentions were really honorable, we would have put you into chayrim for acting different than everyone else. So there's a very interesting psak. The Gra paskens this way, and other paskim paskin this way. Let's say you come to a shul, and your minig is to stand by leaning. But most people in that shul sit by leaning. So the Gra says, based on this Gemara, that you should sit. Because of Yehuda b'Kenusa, the Gemara says, if not that we really know who he is, acted inappropriately by being different and being more machmer than everyone else. Many paiskim disagree, and they say as follows. There's a difference. When somebody is machmer on something, he's accepting on a chumrah. So you shouldn't be machmer in a place where everyone is makel. However, let's say you're doing this because you believe that's the halacha. You believe la halacha, you're supposed to stand by leaning. And even though in the shul where you're attending now, people sit, but if that's what you think is the halacha, you should do what the halacha is and stand. The question is, what about the other way? What about if you come to a shul where everybody stands by leaning and you sit? Are you allowed to sit? The Betzel HaChochma is actually Mekel. Certainly the Pesach Tshuva says, even if you live in a place where people are Mekel, that doesn't stop you from being Machmer in your own home. The only discussion about being Machmer or Mekel is Barabim. But in the privacy of your home, certainly you have every right to be Machmer. Continues the Gemara. Hatar ben akramim, mafsik v'yared, mafsik v'ayla. If somebody gets lost, you could cut off the trees to find your way out. Tana bonim. Haroi chaver tar ben akramim. If somebody sees somebody getting lost in a field, mafsik v'ayla, mafsik v'yared, he could cut his way out. Atshmelei l'ir l'derech. Until he finds, helps him find his way. There's a very interesting machloikis, Ravid and Rashba, relevant laloch lemaisa. Let's say somebody, indeed this happened, somebody is lost in a field, and I help him out by cutting down the trees. So what is the din? You have to reimburse the owner of the trees for the trees that you cut. The Ravid says you do. The Rashba says that our Gemara says that you don't. Because if the halach was you would have to reimburse him, the Gemara should have said it. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is a proof that you don't have to reimburse him. Where does this shail come up? Rahman al-Slan, let's say somebody gets sick or whatever, and Hatzalah comes to help him. Is there an obligation on the patient to pay Hatzalah for whatever cost it had in treating him? So it's a machlaikis ha-paiskim. And the Pais can make an interesting distinction. They say, Rahman al-Salam, somebody gets sick. And they call Hatzalah or whatever to help him. So he didn't make himself sick. He never got sick. There, you don't have to reimburse the Hatzalah. But let's say somebody did something to himself. Let's say somebody tried to commit suicide, Rahman al-Salam. Or somebody hurt himself in a way that he should have not hurt himself or shouldn't have done it. And now, Hatzalah has to treat him, and there's expense involved in treating him. They have a right to demand that he pay. Continues the Gemara. The Cain, who should tie ben adrachim, crumb him, if somebody himself gets lost, the halach is mafsik v'oilid, mafsik v'yard, he could cut his way out, achi oilid le'er l'derach, until he finds his way out. Ask the Gemara, mei v'chein, what's the difference if I get lost, or somebody else gets lost? Answers the Gemara. Ma'atem, chaveru hu diyod l'heichem masalik. The Nifsik. When my friend gets lost, he may not know his way out. I know how to get him out, so it's not that difficult involved in getting him out. Avahu, the Layod Lakasalik, if I myself don't know how to get out. So getting myself out will be very big job, and I'll cut down a lot of trees, perhaps. There, perhaps Loy Nifsik, I should have no right to cut down the trees. Rather, the halacha maybe should be Nehada Bay Mitzri. I should have to go back to where I started, even though it will be roundabout way. Kamash Malon. Ask the Gemara, what is Yeshua enacting here? Hadaraisahu. The obligation for you to help me get out is a chiv deraisa. The Tanya, Hashavas Kufa Menayim. We know, we spoke about it already, there's a din of Hashavas Aveda. If I find something you lost, I have to return it. So isn't it why is the difference if you lose an object or you lose yourself? Tamalayim v'ashveisa. The answer to the Gemara, the raisahu, the koi bei mitzvi. Also, who takin, the mafsig, the oil mafsig yard. If we only wanted to follow the raisa, I should help you get out by walking around the border, not through the field, which will involve ruining trees. Yeshua said that I'm going to leave allowed to even cut the tree. Says the Gra, this is the basis for a very famous halacha, that a doctor is not allowed to take a fee for treating a patient. Because you're not allowed to take a fee for doing a mitzvah. And here there's a mitzvah v'ashiva yisloi. So if you have a patient who's sick, so helping him get better is a mitzvah deraisa, the doctor's only allowed to take schar b'teila. Interesting vart from the Tolus Yaakov Yosef. It says a beautiful vart. If Al Gemara teaches us, he says, that we have an obligation that if somebody is lost, to help him find his way out, that's if you're lost physically. Certainly if we see another Jew who's lost spiritually, we have the obligation to help him find his way out and be makar of him. But he goes on a step fighter. Beautiful vart. He says there are people that suggest that by doing kirv rechaikim, you put yourself in danger because you expose yourself to people whose lifestyle and people whose philosophy is very different than ours. And sometimes you expose yourself to such things and you don't know what's going to happen. So says the Talmud Yaakov Yosef, our Gemara gives you the advice how to avoid that problem. The Gemara says, Mafsig va'oila. The first thing you should do is va'oila. You should become a Ben Aliyah. You should learn Shas and Paiskim. You should become a strong Yerushimayim. After a person has become a Yerushimayim, and after a person has learned Torah, then he doesn't have to worry, Masik v'yayrid. He could go out amongst the people who maybe are weaker and doesn't have to worry about exposing himself to them. He has fortified himself. He has strengthened himself before he goes out and meets and does what he has to. Continues the Gemara. A meis mitzvah, kind of a kaimai. If somebody is a meis mitzvah, we know if somebody you find a corpse in the ground. There are specific rules who's a meis mitzvah. One rule is that there's no one around that could attend to the meis. Another rule is that a meis mitzvah is when most of the body and the head is there. Otherwise, it's not considered a meis mitzvah. The halacha is kaidem akaimai. Verminu, hamaitz meis mutl besratya, if you find him, nefeneu liyamin, esratya lesratya, you've taken him either to the right or to the left. If you find him a stay bur of a stay near, he's right between a field that's plowed or not plowed, take it in finale, stay bare. Stay near the stay zera. If you find them between a plowed field and a field that's planted, but finale, stay near. Take it to the plowed field. How you stay in Byrus, if they're both empty, or stay in Nearus, or they're both equally plowed, or stay in Zerus, they're both equally planted, but finale, mokum shirza. But here you see that you're allowed to take him wherever, you want. And you don't have to bury him on that spot. Amra Bibi, that Braisa is referring to a case, the Mutal Al Meitza. He's right on the border. So you're going to move him. You should follow these rules when moving him. So the Chazon Ish points out that there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim and understanding this rule about a meis mitzvah. Some rishonim, he says, explain that Chazal made this rule, Yeshua made this rule, only for the benefit of the person who finds the meis mitzvah. We're concerned that if somebody finds a meis mitzvah and they'll now have to schlep him to the cemetery, doesn't have the time, doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the whatever, he'll leave him there. So Chazal, to make it easier for this person, says bury him where you found him. But according to that approach, if the person wants to really do the right thing, and he really wants to do a mitzvah, and he wants to take the meis mitzvah to the cemetery, gevaldik, he's doing something that's very commendable. Other rishonim learn the Gemara differently, says the Chazon Ish. The halacha is that meis mitzvah kana mekaymai, it's not optional. The halacha is you have to bury the meis mitzvah where he's found. Provided, again, that he's truly a meis mitzvah with all of the conditions of a meis mitzvah. So I saw an interesting shaila. The shaila came up a lot after the war, after World War II. The Chelkas Yaakov has the following shaila. There were, throughout Europe, they found people buried along different roads in different places. And there was a concern if they would leave the bodies where they were buried, as these cities and countries were getting rebuilt, who knows what would happen to them. So the question that was asked to him was perhaps they should be taken to a basic forest. But there are two issues. One is the issue that we just discussed, that if a meis mitzvah is kana mekaymai, then you have to leave him where he is, the second pshat of the Rishonim. And furthermore, when we learned Masechta Ma'id Katan, we discussed that in general, the entire concept of moving bodies is something that the halacha frowns upon. So what should be done? So he says a very interesting psak. He says one of the halachas of a meis mitzvah is that the meis mitzvah is kana mekaymai only if that's the place where he's found and buried. But let's say when this meis was originally buried, we don't know that that was the exact spot where he was killed or died. Maybe he was killed elsewhere and buried here. Then he doesn't have the halacha of a meis mitzvah. So it says, since by every meis mitzvah that was found, we have that shaila, you can move the meis mitzvahs that were buried all over to Jewish cemeteries. Ask the Gemara, Amri, Asara, if you count, There are hani chat sorry havya. There are actually 11. Answers the Gemara. Mahalchem b'shvilei rishus. This rule that you could walk on the fields was not said by Yeshua. It was actually Shloim Amra. Titania. Harei shekala peroisov menasada. Your field is empty. There's no fruit that are going to get ruined. Ve'ena maniach b'nei adam likanes b'toich sadayu. And you still don't allow anybody to walk on that field. Ma habriyas omer salof. What is said regarding, what do people say regarding such an individual? Ma no. Yesh leplani. What benefit does he have from acting this way? Or ma habriyas mazikas loy. Why is anybody, why is he getting hurt by allowing us to walk in his field? All of our kasuv of omer. Regarding such a person, the pasuk says, meyois toiv atikri ra. Ask the Gemara, umiksiv meyois toiv atikri ra. There's no such pasuk. Says the Gemara, inksiv kahai gavna. There's a similar pasuk. Altim the toiv mi baalov, meyois leel yatcha lasois toiv. Don't hold back from a person when you could act nicely. So the Masha asks, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that let's say you have a field that you aren't renting, and somebody is on that field, so you can't collect rent, but you have a right to ask them to leave the field. But why isn't this a violation of this pasuk? You have to be nice. So he answers, if we're going to allow people to live on our fields without paying rent, so that even the fields that are for rent, they're going to live on. And let's say I change my mind, I want to collect rent, I'll never be able to. So therefore I can't collect back rent, but I can ask him to leave. Ask the Gemara of Suleka, are there no other rules that Yeshua instituted? Victor, the Tanya, we learned this Gemara also, if you don't even b'shas at Saul's volume, during the time when people would spill out their waste, in the rainy season, the Loch is all the mighty zivla l'shus rabim, he could allow his waste to go into the shus rabim, but soivroi, you can leave it piled up in the shus rabim, k'deshi nisha b'ragli adam ragli b'hema, that it should be trampled on by people and animals. Shamanas kein hilcha Yeshua l'Yisrael es aretz. They allowed, that was one of the rules. People will trample it and turn it to fertilizer. Although, just to remember the Gemara, we learned at the beginning of Masechta, even though Yeshua gave this dispensation, we also learned in the Gemara that if somebody is walking on this fertilizer and he gets hurt, he slips, then the owner of the fertilizer will be responsible. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, the Tanya of Shmuel ben Yosher ben Yochanan Breika, Omer, tonight Bezenhu, Shehezeh Yoyer L'Toch Chaver, Chaver. I could go into your field. The Koytzoy Shoycha Shal Chaveroy. I could cut down your nest L'Hatzel Mechil Shaloi to save my beehive. Furthermore. I have to pay you for the tree. But tonight, Bezenhu, another rule. Honey was more expensive than wine. So if I see that your honey is spilling out, the halacha is I should, and I'm working with a barrel of wine, the halacha is I should spill out my wine to save your honey. However, I'm entitled to get back, paid back for my wine. Says Tysus, a very interesting observation. He says, if your honey, if you're walking with a barrel of honey and your barrel cracked and your honey's spilling out, so it becomes hefker. So it's not your honey anymore. So why shouldn't I be allowed to take the honey and keep it? So Tysus says it's not referring to a situation where the honey is completely spilling out. There's some sort of a rag or insulation around the honey, so it's not getting completely lost. It's just dripping out. It doesn't become hefker. Furthermore, tonight, Bezenhu, Shiyeh, Zeh, Mepharkas, Eitzoy, V'Toyim, Pishtanash, Chaveri. We're both walking along the road, and I'm carrying wood, you're carrying flax, much more expensive, and your donkey just collapses. I should take off my wood and take your flax. However, V'Noitel, Demei, Eitzoy, V'Toyim, Pishtanash, Chaveri. Shemanas came, Hincha, Yeshua, Esaretz. So, why aren't they included in the list? And so the Gemara, b'chidoy lo kaminan. Our Gemara is not referring to a situation of rules that we don't have a braisa, that's a stam braisa, but only mentioned by specific tanon. There's an interesting shaila that I saw based on this Gemara. What happens, this is the way the shaila was given. Somebody was carrying something, he was carrying flour, he was transporting flowers on Friday morning. in Eretz Yisrael. Now, flowers in Eretz Yisrael Friday are very sellable. After Shabbos, when they don't really move. So this person's transporting the flowers, and his truck breaks down. He gets a flat tire. And again, if he's going to wait to get a new truck, it'll be Shabbos, and he loses the sale of the flowers. Is he allowed to? There's another truck parked on the road. Is he allowed to take off a wheel from another truck and put it on his truck so that he is not similar to our Gemara? And Silverstein ponders on this question, and he says, if you really know that the person who owns that truck doesn't also have a time-sensitive cargo, perhaps it should be mutter to take off the wheel. Again, you'll have to replace the wheel. You'll have to replace any loss that he has, but it may be mutter.